and again, really trying to keep the balance. So I'm exercising regularly again. If you look at my, you know, we have this Whoop group or community, right? So for those who don't know, Whoop is this health tracker that we're both wearing. And within that app, you can build communities where you join with different people. And so we have a community. I actually saw you're performing so well on Whoop. Like, you exercise regularly. Your sleep score is pretty high. I'm impressed with you. I think I'm doing worse than you, but I'm still, you know, catching up with exercising. And that's definitely helped me a lot, like the last week.
Yeah, that's good. To be honest, I haven't been looking at Whoop this week because I've been ignoring my sleep, like, because it tells me today you should go, your sleep depth is a bit higher, so you should go to bed earlier. But I haven't, because I feel like I've been doing a lot this week, so I needed a break in the night. So that's not good. I've never been one of those. My friend came over and she was like, I'm so, you're like my only friend that goes to sleep early, exercises. And I've told my friends about it and they're like, oh, those people exist. And I felt so good about that. But then this week I haven't been that great, even though you said I have, because I did take like a big nap on Wednesday to like get over all that sleep debt. And I have been, my recovery has been very good, even though my sleep hasn't been great. So that is good, and my exercise has been good. But this week I've been kind of, yeah, I didn't, you know, you have to journal every day what you've done, like the last day, not journal, but write like how, if you had caffeine, if you saw sunlight in the morning, stuff like that. And I haven't gone in the app to like see, because I got this shortcut as well that I could just swipe and see it without going into the app. So I can see my strain recovery and sleep without actually listening to the advice that Whoop gives you. But this week I'm going to get back on it. And I do really want to get back into my sleep schedule. And if I feel the need to have some me time, then schedule it any other time during the day and not when I have to go to sleep, because it's not great. So yeah, but thank you anyways.
Yeah, it's a compliment. You're doing well. Yeah.
It is a compliment. I love it. It's like the huge, like, it's the biggest compliment, because it's like what I'm working on. If you're telling me I'm doing well and what I want to do well, then that's perfect. So if you're telling me I'm doing
and
well,
I think,
on my hair, I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we should really encourage this culture of praising each other for taking care of our health. Right.
Exactly.
I feel like, you know, we praise each other. I think it's actually nowadays like the completely opposite culture, right? We praise each other for staying up all night and studying for that exam, which, yes, it sounds cool and heroic, but it's definitely better than staying up all night and getting drunk and partying, right? I don't want to say that there's just this black and white thing. There's obviously a scale. But I think we should really praise each other of like taking proper care of our health, because it is hard work in itself. Like taking care of your health is not just lying in bed and being like, oh, let's take a day off, right? It's actually hard work. Like exercising is really hard work. Making proper meals and eating proper meals is hard work. You know, now that I'm prepping my meals and I'm eating super veggie, it takes so long to finish that meal. It takes me, seriously, I mean, Brian says it takes him 34 minutes. It takes me over 45 minutes just to eat that, without talking to anyone, just eating that, because it's like vegetable, and like this, like these lentils, they're like so high in fiber. It's like so tough to eat, right? So it's like when I complete my lunch, I'm like, oh my God, I did something, right? I achieved something.
And then it's like 30 minutes in the bathroom. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, no. Luckily not that. It's actually like, it works pretty well in terms of the digestion. Yeah. But we should praise each other for taking care of our health, because it is work and it requires energy, right? It also requires energy to make the decision to go to bed on time. I mean,
yes.
At a certain point, you might be so good at that that it's just a habit, so it doesn't cost you much mental energy. But for us, and having the temptations of, you know, having just spent like a long day studying and then coming home and then deciding to still go on bed to bed on time, that's like a really good decision. So let's keep on praising each other for taking care of our health.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Tell me about that thing you wanted to talk about.
Okay, so this week, so I have like a couple of classes that I need to go to, but they're really not useful for me. I can study them at home, so I spend the time doing other things. that's, I feel like that's optimizing my time. I don't think that's bad. So I got this big note, and I started like mapping my life. Literally, not mapping. I made a timeline, okay, and I divided it in like periods of my life. I think so. University, it was two periods. I think so. It was like the first 3 years, and then the second two, and then it was like, what, you know, my plan that I think I told you about the year. So I kind of did that, but visually, because I've written about it like for myself because of the self-authoring program, but I hadn't looked at it, and it was in my mind, and I needed to have a visual. So I did that, and then I started making branches of, so I did two colors. One, it was like projects that I would be working on each period, and another one was things I would be learning on, I would be learning about in each period, because I do feel like I want to learn so many things, but I can't learn that all at once. So I want to like focus on, okay, so if I want to learn about money, is it really going to be useful to me now, or is it going to be useful for me in another time period? So I really wanted to get down what I would learn in, not necessarily I don't have to do that, but knowing I can leave that for another time, for some other years, so it doesn't take energy of what I should be doing now, or what I should be focusing on, because it's not necessary, it doesn't make sense. And I just needed to have that like laid down there and visual for me to remember. So if I come across a YouTube video on something that is not going to be applicable right now, then should I be wasting my time watching this? Even if it's something productive or useful, it's not right now. So that's what I've been doing this week. And it's just, I'm going to kind of show you the visual thing. Obviously,
yeah, please show me.
Well, I have this huge note because I also started like, you know, the graph you showed me on Canvas from Obsidian. So I also did something like that. It's on like the same page. It's like a crazy page. Wait, let me see. Let me make it big.
Okay.
Okay, so there's this one, which is like a bit like smaller, which is green and then orange, and then with the years. And then this is like, I also did, this one was for Obsidian. I was also working on that because I wanted to branch it out. And I don't know.
Nice.
And then this was like my actual workflow for when encountering those ideas. And then, so for my time period now, I wanted to create different like spaces to think about those ideas, those like projects and things I want to learn. And like, where, so books, for example, so discipline is something I want to be better at, so it's something I want to work on, so where would I learn that? So I had to like not learn, but I just wanted to like map out each of those things where I would do that, but then only for this time period. For the following ones, it would be like for some other year. So when I finished third of university, I would have to sit down again and then think about like that period, instead of going like yearly goals. It's just periods of time where I need to focus on this, and it also gives me like more flexibility, and it's not also like, oh, I need to achieve this by now, or like, it's just things I want to focus on, and I just want to have that clarity, and it was also really fun to do. So yeah,
it sounds really cool, like the visualization process. Let me ask you, how long are these different periods? Do they have, I assume they have different lengths, but how long are they roughly?
Yes, so they vary. So most of them are like between 3 and 2 years. This one, which is 5. So there's two big ones, which is one is 5 years, and one is like from 5 to 7 years roughly. And then there's two that are 3, one that is 2 years, and one is that is just 1 year. And then the rest is like not planned, but eventually it will be. But right now I don't have enough vision to the future. It depends on a lot of things. So, yeah,
I think that makes sense. I mean, I also would have asked you next for like, if you did it for your entire life, where you actually set the end point, right? Is there some kind of end point?
Yes. It's when I'm like 36, 38. So when I have kids. That's like the end point of where I've planned, because from there, I don't know what my life will be and what I want from there.
Okay, I'm glad you specified that that's just the end point for your planning and not the planned endpoint for your life.
No, I plan to live a long life, so no.
Yeah.
And then there's also...
Because
there's,
I would have been like, Irene... I would have been like, Irene, we're planning, you know, to take really good of our health, really good care of our health, and optimize longevity. That must have been a lot of work, like planning for the next 200 years, right?
Yeah, I know. And then there's the thing, health. So there's some of the projects that are like forever. So I do have this like infinity thing under it, which is health. That's like the one in infinity. It's like sleep, nutrition, gym, and like I put like on one day unwinding, but I guess it's like mental health, I guess. But that's like in the infinity line, so there's no time period for that. It's just forever. So yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, I'm sure there's like a lot more details. And maybe like you can like send me a screenshot or something. I guess it's also pretty personal. But I think it's just a really cool process. And again, it's like the same thing. You just sat down and try to be as specific as you can be at this current point in time to get a vision on where you want to go and how you want to do that and which things you want to specify on. And of course, I'm pretty sure like there's the things in like 2 years, you'd probably put in different projects or slightly different projects or different time periods, but it's still just like a starting point. And I guess it gives you like a lot more clarity of the entire thing.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool project.
Thank you. But yeah, and it's especially like I started doing this because I was overwhelmed of the things I wanted to do and the things I wanted to learn about. And I was like, I don't have time for this. I can't learn all of them. And I was like, well, I don't have to learn them all now. So that was like my motivation to do that. I just needed to specify and take a time for that in the future. Like, I mean, it's okay. You can do it some other time. And you will. So, yeah.
That's good. I think there's also one thing which I recently learned is that when things get difficult or when you're stressed or when you're just, you know, when there's something going on right now that seems very urgent and important. So that could be like an exam coming up. That could be, you know, you feeling really stressed at the moment. Or it could be like after a breakup where you're like socially unstable or something like that. It really shortens your ability to look into the future. So basically, like when you're in a really calm state and you're on top of everything and everything's calm, you have the capacity as a human to, you know, think about the next 5 years, maybe the next 10 years. Maybe if you're like, you know, really technical about it, you can think about like the next 50 years or something, right? But as things destabilize in your life, as things become difficult and urgent, and there's things you need to take care of in order to survive, so to speak, your ability to look into the future shortens, right? And so when you're like in a really tough situation, let's take the extreme example. So there's a lion and he's trying to catch you and kill you and eat you, right? That's like a really bloody urgent situation. In that situation, you're not going to have any ability to think about, well, what am I... goals for the year for 2024, right? Yeah. What am I gonna do? Like, how am I gonna raise my kids in 20 years or something? So I think it's really good when you do have these short periods in your life, right? Which, to be honest, I think are incredibly valuable if you do get to have those moments, right? Those moments where you are stable, at least for a certain period of time. Could just be like 30 minutes, right? Could be like a week where you're on holiday or something. Could be in between semesters or something. But when you have the chance to be calm and where you have the chance to be stable for a moment, then I think it's really useful to use that time to look into that future. And then as you just did it, you know, visualize it so that it's captured. So when you are in those moments again where you are stressed or under pressure and your vision for the future or your ability to look into the future gets shortened, you have that bloody piece of paper that you can look at and see, okay, this is roughly the path I'm on. And you almost become your own guide, right? Because in that period of stable, like in that stable period, you made a map for yourself. And now your future self is using that map. And your future self, you know, is busy and, you know, overwhelmed with everything, but it has that map from your past self to navigate these individual moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice exercise. Props to you again. There's so much praising today, but you're doing really well. It's good. Okay, there's one...
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one topic I would like to talk about. Or just like something that I've been thinking about more clearly, like these past couple of weeks. And it's about managing... I mean, we sort of spoke about it when we did the episode about the second brain. Because as part of that episode, I'm not going to go through everything, but we talked about, you know, as a starting point of that system, figuring out what are the input sources of information in your life. Like, where does new information enter your life, right? And we talked about different sources, from books to podcasts to conversations to lectures and all that kind of stuff. And to me, sort of as an extension to that thought, I've just really been thinking about, well, am I properly and intentionally managing these different sources of information in my life, right? Because obviously, just to give sort of like a general overview of the situation, obviously we're living in the modern days and there's social media and there's infinite scroll and there's like a ton of information. So the quantity of information is not the problem. There's plenty of information out there, right? So now the challenge is to ensure that you get the best bits of that information, essentially, right? And that's actually a challenge because how the heck are you supposed to know which of like which information of all of that information is valuable to you specifically, which is good for you to know? Yeah. So the way I sort of came across this topic is because I was thinking about signing up to some proper newspapers. So there's obviously a ton of big international newspapers. There's, you know, I don't know, The Economist, there's The Wall Street Journal, there's The Guardian, there's, I don't know, BBC. So there's obviously a ton of newspapers and international newspapers. But for me, being a management student at TUM University, I just came across that topic because it's becoming increasingly important for me to really be up to date on the things that are happening, both in the economy, both politically, but also in regards to like emerging technologies and all that kind of stuff. So that's how I came across the topic of newspapers and the idea to potentially sign up to some of them. Because of course, these newspapers are also paid, so it is some kind of investment that I would have to make. But it really got me started, got me thinking, to what extent am I really confronting myself and making sure that I get confronted with only the highest quality information, right? Because, for example, when it comes to... We talked about these different sources, right? There's podcasts I listen to. There's YouTube videos I watch. There's, like, things I read online. There's all that kind of stuff, right? And in some domains, I think I already have a pretty good selection of, like, high-quality content. So, for example, when it comes to podcasts, I don't just go on the podcast app and search for any random podcast, but I have a certain selection that I have of podcasts that I think add really, like, proper value to my life. Because it has interesting conversations, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but still, I was thinking, okay, to what extent have I optimized like the system of incoming information? And so again, I now have signed up to a couple of newspapers, but I'm specifically thinking about one thing in this entire system, which is about how do you make sure that you don't end up in some kind of bubble when it comes to your information inflow, right? I think it's an experience everyone has, right? You sort of find your places and your groups of people in the world on the internet that you have a set of common beliefs with, right? And then you keep following those same people, right? I talk about, I don't know, different people all the time, right? I'm not going to mention any names though, right? But I keep talking about the same people and I keep listening to the conversations of those same people, right? And of course, there's like other things I listen to, but there's a primary subset that I listen to. And for me, I'm really trying to figure out how can I optimize that I have a diversified flow of information. And really looking at this entire system, not just as something that's for entertainment or anything, but really looking at it as something that just like influences my life, right? There's this one saying, which nowadays is super popular, you know, show me your five best friends and I'll tell you who you are, or quotes like that, right? But I think information, we consume so much information and we listen to people also in those digital spheres, right? So I think it'd be really important or valuable to figure out a system where you make sure you have a diversified and high quality inflow of information.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but how do you identify so that diversity, I guess? So you're interested in certain things. So what do you mean? Like in the same topic, listening or consuming different information about different people, or broadening what you're consuming in terms of type of, so I don't know, productivity, so, and then in this other side, like economy, and then politics, and then, so, but yes, you want to diversify, but you also want to like listen from the best. I know that's a bit, it sounds obvious, I guess, but there's not that many things. You listen to the same people for a reason. So what do you mean? Like, what do you mean when you say diversify? Yeah.
Well, I think there's two components to optimizing that system of inflow of information, right? And to be fair, like, this is exactly the type of thing that I should sit down with just like a blank sheet of paper and map it out, right? That's like a perfect example of like a problem where you could apply this approach. I think there's two components to optimizing this. One is, for example, getting clear on what proportions you want each of the different types of information inflow to have, right? So let's just take like four examples. There's obviously more, but let's say we have books, we have podcasts, we have conversations, and we have articles on the on newspapers. Let's take those four. Of course, there's probably more, right? But if you have these four, for example, like what proportion do you want them to have in your life, right? So listen, for example, to this podcast with Jeff Bezos and Lex Fridman recently. And Bezos mentioned, or well, said this quote that books are sort of the antidote to, to this not short-term thinking, but to this short attention span problem, right? Because a book, by its nature, it just takes some time to read it. And books are also like less fast in the sense that, you know, they're not highlights, or they're not like headlines. They take some topic and they go into the depth of that topic, right? So what he said, it's sort of like an antidote to that short span problem, because it just forces you to sit down and really sort of wrestle with an idea for a longer period of time, right? And I think that's totally true. And there's other articles, like news, by their very nature, are the complete opposite. They're about headlines. They're about short snippet content about relevant topics that are relevant right now. Maybe not in 1 week, maybe not last week, but relevant right now, right? So I think the first problem, or like the first aspect to this, will be figuring out, okay, to what what proportion do I want these things to have? Do I want to read books 50% of the time and newspapers 20% of the time, and those kinds of things? So I think that would be the first aspect. And then the second aspect about diversifying, and I guess that's the more challenging part, is figuring out, okay, what kind of fields do I feel like I want to know more about? So what kind of like topics and all that kind of stuff do I want to be confronted with? And then making sure that from those topics, you get really high quality information, but also diversified information. Because obviously nowadays it's really polarized, right? Like the entire political sphere, for example, is very polarized. But I think this political polarization is also, it also is connected to so many other things nowadays. Like I see it so many times now when I'm watching movies, where you really see some kind of ideology really like merge with a movie, right? You see how the movie and certain scenes are trying to convey mental health problems, right? And how they're, tackling social problems. I think it's just important to be aware that it's very easy to fall into the trap of just being caught in one bubble and losing the sight of what the opposing side is thinking about. So, I'm not quite sure. I guess that's definitely the bigger problem and the harder thing to solve. But I think it's something that's very important, especially nowadays where there's so much information out there.
Yeah, that's true. And again, So when you have a certain belief and you listen or read things that that agree with that belief, you don't question your belief, you further ingrain it. But then if you listen to the opposing the opposing belief, then you can question it, and you can still believe in it, of course, but you'll never expand on it.
And I think it's I guess it also comes down to this basic concept of, you know, strengthening your strengths, but not working on your weaknesses, right? And I think that's like one major problem. It's just like comfortable and easy to stay in the same bubble and keep reinforcing that same belief you have. I think both of us do that, right? We believe, you know, discipline is good and valuable. We believe in systems, right? Which is a belief that I have been reinforcing all over and all over for the past couple of months, right? I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that, but I think there's something wrong with it when there's no balancing out of that reinforcement of the same beliefs, when there's no confrontation with beliefs that challenge those beliefs that you've been reinforcing. There's this one, I mean, this is totally random, but there's this one UFC fighter. His name is Adesanya. And so I might be wrong about this. I'm not into like the whole fighting sports or anything, but I think he's a UFC fighter and a pretty successful one. And he talks about how he has been criticized online for following Donald Trump, for example, online. But the thing is, for him, he's very intentionally following people he doesn't agree with, for the sake of, you know, confronting himself with that and learning about the perspective of the other side. And I think I, for example, currently rarely do that. I have not read The Manifest of Socialism or anything, right? I just keep reinforcing the belief that capitalism is the ultimate way to go, right? And it might be, I don't know. But I think there's a lack of balance between confronting myself with things that I believe in and things that I think are the wrong side of the game. And I think that's a problem to solve. And I think it's a problem that one should try to solve early, because again, we are fed with so much information and it really shapes us, right? And so I think it's important to tackle that. But I guess it's, again, probably the best thing to just sit down, take a blank sheet of paper and map it out, and then just work step by step, as always.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is a good thing that you decided to do that, because it is really important, because I just thought about it. And yeah, for example, my dad does that in the way, like, because he's always, he watches the news a lot, which I guess a lot of dads do. But he's always like criticizing what he's watching. I'm like, why are you watching this if like you don't like it, you don't agree with it? And he's like, no, I need to watch what the opposed, because there's channels that are centered in like a view, and channels that are certain centered in another one. So he's always watching the one that he doesn't agree with, and I'm like, why? And he just, it's what you say, like he needs to challenge his beliefs and also understand why the opposing believe things what they believe, because so many people have that belief. It has to be for a reason. Like if your belief was so obvious and so right, everyone would agree with you, and that's not the case. Like that's never the case. So yeah, it is a good thing. So if you do sit down and identify those things, send it to me. I'll pay you if you want.
No, but I think it's great. Like we, like each of us, we keep tackling projects individually, and then we share them. It's almost like preparing for an exam, but splitting up the preparation and then just sharing, which I think is great. Yeah,
it is.
But again, it's just something I believe is really important, because I also feel like the people who really understand things are the people who confront themselves with the other side, and that's how they get the deeper understanding of their own side, right? Because there's a lot of things where I could give all of the pro arguments, right? But I wouldn't necessarily be able to explain sort of the inverse of that, right? Why the other side is wrong, because I don't actually know the other side. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big world out there, and there's like a lot going on. And yeah, that was this, yeah. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts this last week, and I also listened to I listened to all four conversations between Lex Fridman and Elon Musk, because they've had four interviews, and it's a really cool setting because they seem to be pretty close, and it's just so cool seeing these people whom you usually just see in the media as these untouchable giants, right? People like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and then you see them like in a setting where they're just like lying back on the laying back on their chairs, and you're just having a casual conversation and laughing about memes, and like Lex and Elon are like discussing memes. So it's just really interesting. But Elon talked about this. So Lex Fridman asked him this typical questions that these giants are being asked. What kind of recommendation would you give to young people who want to, you know, play a part in this world and contribute something? And he said, well, so Elon said, he thinks it's a good idea to start off by just trying to get an overview over everything as quickly as possible. And he proposed like the most ridiculous, but also very interesting approach, which is just taking the encyclopedia. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. It's a difficult word. Encyclopedia?
Encyclopedia.
I think so. Okay. Never mind. Just, you know what I mean? I hope so. And he just proposed taking that and just reading through it to get an overview over terms and topics and that kind of stuff. And I mean, that's kind of an interesting approach, and it's a very unpopular approach. I've never heard anyone ever propose that. But apparently, I mean, I read his biography, and apparently that's really what he did. But he had this one library in his town. He read through all of the comics first, and then there were no comics left. And then he started reading the science books and the encyclopedias. Damn. but yeah, I think that's an interesting approach. And again, it comes down to, you know, information management and making sure to get to know everything, right? And a bit of everything, so that you can then put things into reference also, right? Again, but just rambling by now, but yeah, go ahead.
How would you read the encyclopedia? And also, like, if you read it, doesn't mean you have that knowledge in you.
His proposition is to read through it and memorize all the terms, but it just gives you an overview if you read through it. And to be honest, I've never read an encyclopedia. I don't think I have. Like, maybe in class, like individual like definitions of things. But I mean, you just read through it, and then you get confronted with different topics and different things, and then you can look further into the things that you're interested in. But it's an interesting starting point, because I mean, the whole definition of the thing is that it contains everything. Right? That's what an encyclopedia is, I think. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting, actually. Yeah. Are you going to read it? Are you going to do that?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think it'd be a cool thing to say, oh, I read through the entire encyclopedia.
Oh my god, people.
But it might also be the type of thing you say at a party or something, and people just don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, I think that's closer to what people would do. I mean, it depends.
I mean, I struggle enough. Yeah, sorry.
No, you go.
Okay, yeah, I struggle enough, you know, explaining my nutritional standards, and now with my prepped lunch boxes, right, I have to keep explaining my lunch and the ingredients and what it's for and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure if I want to make my life any harder socially.
I get it. I think my friends, like, because we act normal, we are normal. I mean, by normal, obviously. But in a sense, socially, I don't think we're socially awkward or things like that. So, but then when I tell my friends about things I'm doing, or because I, for example, what I showed you on my iPad, I do that in class sometimes, and my friends just look at me like, what the hell are you doing? What is wrong with you? Because people don't expect that normally. So when I try to explain, they look at me like, what are you doing? Like, you're weird. Because we don't, because we don't associate these not normal things with socially normal people, I guess. So people,
yeah,
just
yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I'm always surprised. You know, at Tum University, there are so many smart individuals, like really smart people. Maybe they just seem really smart to me because they're way better at me at maths, right? Maybe they're just regular people, and I don't know. But they seem very smart and they seem very competent. But what surprises me, I would have expected all of these smart people to also be a bit weirder. Like, I would have expected them to have more, you know, strange things about them, you know, them having strange routines or doing different things. But so many of them, and that's what really confuses me, so many of them are pretty normal, actually. They're not socially awkward. They're just regular people. They go to parties, right? Not excessively, but they go every now and then. They just have like regular lunches. They do regular things. They wear regular clothes. And really, it confuses me. I would have expected all of them to be these aliens, you know, behind the door, right, or in their rooms. But they're pretty normal. And I don't know. Also, in this podcast with Elon and Lex Friedman, or I think it might have been with Jeff Bezos. Well, they said there's 100 different ways to be smart, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's really true. They also gave the counterexample of there's probably a million different ways to be stupid, right? So it's not to say that everyone is smart in their own way. But I think there are definitely different ways. So yeah, we have our own way and ours is obviously the best one. So
yeah, of course. And I'm good at math. No, I'm joking. I'm not. I thought I was.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
Okay. About that.
All right. Do you have any? Okay. Do you have any other things on your mind, Irene? Any other things you want to discuss?
I don't think so. I think this week has been like so normal, in general, with nothing else. Well, I haven't listened to a single podcast this week. Which is weird, not because I need to, but because I normally want to, and I didn't want to. I only wanted to listen to music. Remember when I told you I had these periods where I wanted to listen to music, I wanted to listen to podcasts? This week was full music, and this week I went out, so last week it was like full podcasts because I wanted to, and I didn't go out a single day. This week was full music, and I went out. early and obviously just like around where I live, but twice, which is weird, I guess. So that is kind of surprising that how it relates to what I'm
I was going to say that seems to be some kind of correlation.
Yeah I know. I just noticed that and it's so weird. I feel like it's the mood I'm on. Sometimes like more normal centered like music and just like chilling with my friends, and then sometimes it's more like go Irene centered, you know. I keep talking about myself in the third person.
I think you're trying to separate the Irene that, you know, parties, you know, during the week, and the Irene that's, you know, sitting there sketching her life.
No, because it normally is the same person, but sometimes it just separates itself, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think music is something that I love music. I also listen to a ton of music, but I really have to be careful with it because I can really get myself in very strange and unproductive moods, or just like not very useful moods, by listening to the wrong music in the wrong quantity, right? For me also, like, I listened to like a ton of podcasts this week, and this was like a productive week where I just like woke up in the morning, you know, got dressed, had my breakfast, you know, went to uni, did my thing, did my work, came back, ate, went to sleep, you know, went on a run in between or something, right? So just and it's like the state where you're just present in life, right?
Yeah.
Where the thing you're thinking about is your actual life, and it's not some kind of abstract story or some kind of, you know, mood that sort of overlays your life with this filter or something, like a positive or a negative one. It's just you actually think about your life instead of some kind of story or something. which I think is the goal or should be the goal.
Yeah, I think it should be.
Yeah, I think it also comes down to just like consciousness, right? For me, I see, well, in general, you know, all of these addictive behaviors that we engage in nowadays, whether it's, you know, infinite scrolling on social media, whether it's pornography, whether it's, I don't know, like getting drunk or these types of things, right? All of them seem to have the goal to make us unconscious on some kind of level, right? You want to be sort of, yeah, obviously not unconscious lying flat on the ground, but unconscious in the sense that you sort of smoothen out the corners of the world, right? In your perception of it. And it's nice because, you know, life is very sharp in that sense. You know, you can cut yourself in every corner. So if you smoothen it out, that just makes it more enjoyable, right? But at the same time, it's really counterproductive because, you know, you still go through the same world. The world hasn't changed. So you can still cut yourself. You just don't see the sharp corner, so to speak, if you visualize it. So I think consciousness should be the state we always aim for. And I think that's definitely, you know, the way to achieve that is like proper sleep, for example. If I'm tired, and I think by definition, like if you're really sleep deprived, you get pretty close to the feeling of being drunk. Again, I'm not a scientist, disclaimer, whatever, right? But I think there's a pretty strong correlation. And so, you know, sleeping properly, eating properly also, right? People have this food coma experience where after a meal they get sort of like dizzy and they need to lie down. Again, is a state of unconsciousness in a sense. But people want that because life is just too uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah, it's like anesthesia, for example. So they cut your butt.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't feel it, but it's still happening. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let's try to be conscious all the time. Let's try to go for our clarity. Yes.
Yeah,
it's also this Matrix problem. You know, these two different pills. Have you watched The Matrix?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. It's about, do you want to see the world for what it is? Or do you want to live, you know, in an illusion that's more comfortable?
Yeah, no. Perception, yeah. To be honest, I was very unconscious this week. I think that was it. Because I still did the thing, because some things are just like habits now. So even if I'm unconscious, I just do it. Or I do have a certain level of consciousness. I still been going to the gym, obviously. But and I do think, so Monday was a very weird day in my mood. I felt the need to be unconscious, and I think that reflected on my week. Yeah, for sure. It was because I just felt like blue, I guess, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah,
for no reason, like there was no reason, and I didn't like that. And yeah, and my whole week was kind of affected by that. And then feeling the need to, like, before going to sleep, maybe be on my phone for a bit or watch. Yeah. Sorry, I just had these like reflections.
The realization coming up.
Yeah, I love that our calls are on Sunday because we get to reflect on the week and then start the week good, like motivated. Because I get motivated when I talk to you. So yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I also get motivated. Yeah. But I think it's also like a good time because on a Sunday morning, at least, I mean, that should be the case. You know, we are presumably somewhat well rested. We always record this just to give people a background. So we record these weekly podcasts on a Sunday and usually at 10 a.m. in the morning. So it's not super early, right? So we should have enough time to get a good night's sleep. But then it's just like early in the day. We probably haven't had lunch yet, right? We maybe had breakfast or something. So we should be in a somewhat clear state of mind at this time because we should be somewhat well rested. Like, I think, you know, we had a couple of podcast episodes, like, in the evening, for example. And I'm not to say, of course, there are people who can work better in the evening, all that kind of stuff. But still, I think, you know, there's certain times where you're more clearer than others. And, I think that consciousness, it can be scary because it can just be, you know, I know some people who have bad eyesight. And there's one friend I talked to and I was like, because I actually saw like a doctor, an eye doctor, because I was talking to that doctor about eye surgery, because optimally I would like to just have perfect eyesight all the time without having to wear contacts. And that friend told me, well, she actually doesn't want to get her eyes fixed, right? She likes the ability to take off her contacts and see everything unclear, because things look prettier. It's like nicer. You don't see the dust on the floor, right? And it's this perfect analogy to this want to be able to take a step back from the reality of life and step into some kind of romanticized and just more comfortable illusion, essentially. I think we're getting close to figuring out, you know, the mysteries of life. I think we're that close.
We're this close. Yeah. I just keep thinking, yeah, that's so true. And it makes me wonder, like, because everyone I think has a different way of being unconscious, we say the term, like disconnecting from reality in a way. And it kind of wanted to make me figure out what mine is and identify it when it happens, just to be conscious of my unconsciousness and why it's happening, I guess, to step back into it. But yeah, that's something I want to think about. So when we hang up, I'm going to start.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but I think we covered like a lot of cool and interesting topics today.
Yeah,
and,
we did.
Yeah. Also, I mean, this is maybe this we can also still put in the podcast. Why not? So now that we've sort of recorded, I think this is our 6th or 7th episode. So we have done a couple of ones actually. It's actually not bad. And of course, I mean, let's just caveat this to have done it at least once throughout these episodes. Of course, right? I mean, I also listen to like the podcast episodes between these big people, right? Like again, Lex Friedman, Elon Musk, and those kinds of conversations. And you know, both of us, we talked about how in the beginning we definitely needed some time, and you know, there's still like a lot of room for improvement, of course. But how initially we really struggled with certain aspects of this, you know, just like speaking properly. And we talked about the usage of these filler words, which we both do way too much, right? And how we also have this tendency to not finish sentences and all that kind of stuff. But still, I think it's really cool that we are on this journey and that we're taking the steps to incrementally, improve our abilities to have these conversations and to go through these topics and break them down and hopefully make them somewhat digestible for other people. So I think it's really cool. And we've also, we haven't uploaded any episodes so far, right? Of course, like once this is live, once someone's listening to this, of course, this will be, everything will be uploaded. But we're pretty close to it. So I'm just excited. And it'll be a cool thing to have these conversations actually on the internet and actually out there. And then we can just go from there. Really?
I keep thinking that that my future boss or like my future husband or whatever is going to listen to it. And I don't know, that's going to be there forever. Because what if I change my mind on something I said? And people think, I mean, no one's, I don't know. But what if I say something too personal and they call my parents to say that they kidnapped me and they give this information that I'm giving away? Like, what if they take my voice and make it into something I haven't said? You know, but then I think, well, most of those things are going to happen in Spanish and I'm speaking in English, so it's fine.
Yeah, and I mean, you're definitely right. I mean, of course, like this entire process of having these public conversations, right? Or doing anything in public, really. Like it could be like a musician that goes out onto the street and starts performing his song or something. It could be us, you know, starting with blog posts and now, you know, having these public conversations online, right? Of course, you make yourself vulnerable in that process because you put yourself out there. You take the spotlight and you intentionally put it on yourself, right? And so, of course, people have and could very easily criticize you or criticize us or whatever. But I think, you know, you get in some ways, you get rewarded for that for that intentional vulnerability. In the sense that, I mean, of course, like that, there's no guarantee for that. But I think, I don't think anyone can easily make the case against someone intentionally putting themselves out there, because it is a step of bravery, in my opinion. And so I think there's something, some kind of slack you get for putting yourself out there and taking that step. Right. So in Germany, we call this the Welpenbonus or something like that. So, for example, in school, when different groups have to give presentations, and the group that does the first presentation, that willingly raise their hands to do the first presentation, they get a certain bonus because they're putting themselves out there. Right. If you want, we can just put a disclaimer on every podcast episode. Disclaimer, things we said might change in the future, right? We might change our opinions. But I think broadly speaking, I think we're fine. And I think our conversations are actually, hopefully, at least to some extent, interesting. And, you know, if nobody's listening to them, that's fine anyway. So I think we're good here. And I think it's cool that we're doing this. And it'll just get better from here. So
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And also, I kind of feel bad for you because you're doing everything. And if you need any help, like, I'll do it, I guess. That's kind of really bad. I'm happy to help with whatever you need. Just tell me, because you've been taking all the responsibility, which obviously I'm happy with. Sorry, again. That is not going well. No, I'm happy to help with whatever you want. It's just that I haven't said this to you before because I'm kind of scared of doing, not scared, but I'm kind of more, conservative on doing about this and things like that. I try to not think that it's happening. not thing, but yes, we're starting a YouTube channel. Like, that's kind of a huge thing for me, I think. And we're gonna actually post things we say. So if I don't do it, I don't think about it. So when you send it to me, it's like, oh yes, this looks cool. but it is happening and it's totally fine, and I can definitely help with whatever you need. But that's just the reason I haven't offered before. But it's not because I don't care.
Yeah, seems like you've been trying to escape consciousness, right, about this topic.
yeah, but because I do love talking, and I love that it's kind of in a podcast. Well, it's not kind of, it is a podcast, but it's in that setting, and I love the topics we talk about, and that it's scheduled and things like that. So I love what we're doing, but it's just weird that it's gonna happen, like we're gonna have a podcast, and it's so cool that we are, but I feel like it's so cool, but so if you need help, I'm happy to help.
Yeah.
That's a conclusion. Okay,
I'm just gonna take that as the essence. Yeah, but I mean, of course, like, it's scary, right? And I also, so last week I've been designing the thumbnails and stuff like that, and the YouTube banners and setting all that kind of stuff up. And to be fair, like, to me also felt like, ooh, this feels kind of scary, you know, especially publishing conversations. I think that's definitely a bit more scary than just publishing blog posts, for example, because blog posts, it's written, you can edit everything before you publish it, you don't have your face on it, right? It's less personal, so there's definitely a change. But again, I have this feeling that, you know, the people who move forward in life faster than others are the ones who are fine with making these decisions pretty quickly. So again, Jeff Bezos said this in his podcast episode, that, you know, his whole goal with Amazon, but also with his new company Blue Origin, which is about, you know, space flight, his entire goal is to be the most decisive company in the world, especially with his, like, new Blue Origin project, right? So he believes in, that it's really important. And especially, so he talks about this. Let me just explain this as the last framework for this podcast episode, and then we can make a cut. But he talked about this concept of the different types of doors in life. There's single-way doors or one-way doors, and there's two-way doors, right? So there are some doors where it's really like once you go through that door, there's no going back. Those are these really big decisions, right? And that could be, for example, committing to, I don't know, move to a different country to study there. And you could argue for that being a two-way door, actually. But let's just assume that's a one-way door. So you do that and you're bound to that place by like, or like accepting some kind of a two-year contract, for example, right? That's just something once you sign it, that's a one-way door. You have to stick to that, right? And those are big decisions that you should carefully contemplate and really spend a lot of time thinking about committing to them or not. But then most other decisions in life, he says, are these two-way doors, right? So yes, it might take some effort to go through that door, but there's no one holding you back from going back through that door again and testing out some kind of other different door. So I think this is like a good example in our case here. Yes, of course, like it's going to be on the internet, and I'm pretty sure we'll never be able to erase anything from the Google databases once we've uploaded anything to any of these platforms, right? I think it's going to be stuck there for eternity, and that's just how it is. But we can always take down videos, for example, or we can always delete podcast episodes. We can always take down a blog post. So it's really not that big of a deal, I think. And so I think in those cases, and that's what he proposes, is in those situations, just go through the door because you can always go back. So make the decision fast and then make the decision fast again to go back through it if you need to. But don't waste your time on these two-way doors because you can go back. So there's no real, you should really just test it out and try it.
Yeah.
So let's use our two-way door and get this started. And yeah. We'll just see how it goes, but I think it's a cool thing and it's scary for the both of us to some extent, but I don't think there's any reason to make it bigger than it is. And yeah, I think it's just really like a really cool opportunity we have, right? To do these podcast episodes, to have these conversations and to have, you know, even like all of the technical equipment to record this, to upload it. So I think it's a cool thing that we'll appreciate looking back.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Okay.
Nice talk.
I hope I got you convinced there.
Yeah, you definitely. No, I am convinced. It doesn't mean I don't have these thoughts, but I'm definitely convinced. If not, I wouldn't be doing this and I wouldn't be letting you create a YouTube channel, stuff like that. It's not me letting you, obviously. It's something we do together, but you're creating it. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well. All right. I think this was a pretty cool conversation. We covered like a lot of cool different topics. I think what you're doing with your mapping your life is really cool. And you should definitely send me like some kind of screenshot or something. I want to see the details, right?
I will.
But yeah, it's really cool. And I think we're on a reasonable track to where we both want to go. Of course, there's always room for improvement. And we still have a lot of navigating to do on this very long journey. Yeah, but it's cool to know that we are on this journey and that we're committing to our individual journeys.